Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Been on a Tuesday, July 19th of 2022. Local programming underway here on KGYM with Spencer on Sports. Appreciate you tuning in. 1600 AM, 102.3 on the FM side of the dial in Cedar Rapids and surrounding areas. 106.3 if you are in Iowa City this afternoon. Or surrounding areas. 106.3 on your FM dial. We're available on the stream at KGYMradio.com, on the free-to-download app for your smartphone, and on your smart speaker, also in podcast form after the show at KGYMradio.com. Many, many, many ways to listen to the program here today and every day. We appreciate you no matter how or where you are listening this afternoon. Lots to get to on a Tuesday. All-star break continues, but plenty of baseball to talk about. What a home run derby we had last night. Boy, incredible to watch. Get into the reaction for the home run derby last night. My pick of Pete Alonso didn't go so hot. We'll get into that coming up in just a bit. But impressive performance nonetheless from the champion, Juan Soto, and the other finalist, the rookie, Julio Rodriguez. We'll get some comments and thoughts there. As we wrap up the home run derby, look ahead to the All-Star game tonight. We've got the lineups all set for at least the starting lineups for tonight's All-Star game. Home run derby was last night. All-Star game's tonight. We will get to that coming up in just a few moments as well. Major League Baseball draft is going on as we speak. You want to feel old, I guess. Follow this draft. Not only do we have those four players of former MLB stars that we talked about yesterday, Jackson Holliday and Drew Jones and the like, they got picked in the first round. We're continuing to see like former sons of former players get drafted, and in the 13th round, we're currently in the 14th round, by the way. We had Marquise Grissom Jr. get drafted by the Washington Nationals. Remember Marquise Grissom? As a Brewer fan, I remember Marquise Grissom well. My son is now a Washington National. So there you go. If you want to feel old, follow the Major League Baseball draft here this afternoon. No Hawkeyes as far as I could see here this afternoon. Just scrolling through the draft tracker. But if any do pop up, like Peyton Williams popped up right as I turned off the microphone yesterday. He was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays. So congratulations to Peyton. Dylan Nedved, drafted by the San Diego Padres, so two now former Hawkeyes potentially making their way out to San Diego and their farm system. Get you instant analysis, instant reaction, should any players with Iowa ties to the University of Iowa or to other high schools, whatever it may be here in the state of Iowa. We will get to that on the show today as well. Got lots of college football stuff to talk about. Looks like any potential merger between the Pac-12 and the Big 12 is off the books, off the table. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Plus, Notre Dame puts a dollar figure on what would keep them independent. How much money would it take from a TV deal, possibly, to keep them as an independent school and not tie them to a conference, whether that be the ACC or the Big Ten? That report coming out within the last 24 hours as well, too. And one former Cyclone finally signing his rookie deal in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up later on in the program as well. Love to hear from you today. 319-366-1600. Our poll question at KGYMradio.com has to do with the All-Star game tonight. Which league triumphs tonight? Is it going to be the American League, or is it going to be the National League? Which league do you think comes out on top in tonight's All-Star game? You can vote right now at KGYMradio.com at the poll question courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement and Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Let's start off with what happened last night, the home run derby. It was another fantastic event, and when all was said and done, all the swings were swung. All the balls were hit out of the yard. The baseballs hit out of the yard. There was one man standing, and that was Mr. Juan Soto.
He's on the 405 right now. He's still going.
This one might hit the scoreboard in right center. Huge blast by Soto. Your Derby champion as he chucks the bat high into the air. Juan Soto, the Washington Nationals, wins the 2022 T-Mobile Home Run Derby in L.A.
Roxy Bernstein, as heard right here on ESPN Radio and KGYM last night with the call from the live coverage of the Home Run Derby last night. Juan Soto defeating Julio Rodriguez, the rookie, 19-18 in the final to win the 2022 Home Run Derby last night at Dodger Stadium. The Nationals outfielder joining Bryce Harper is the only players in Washington franchise history to win the Derby. Soto beating Ramirez and defeating 11-time All-Star Albert Pujols en route to the final. Juan Soto, the second youngest Home Run Derby champion ever, only behind Juan Gonzalez. So 19-18, Juan Soto coming out on top over Julio Rodriguez, who had quite the tear himself. We'll get to kind of how things advanced in just a moment. But let's hear from the champ himself, Juan Soto, talking with John Shambi from ESPN Radio, following the home run derby, and winning that trophy last night at Dodger Stadium.
How great is this for you?
Oh, man, it feels amazing. I couldn't believe that I win. There's so many good hitters and so many power hitters that I never think I got the chance, but at the end of the day, it's God's plans. It's not mine.
Tell me about anything you did in terms of practice for this. Anything different than standard batting practice?
I mean, I tell the guys the same thing. I'm going to try to do the same thing as last year. Just try to hit the ball, try to square the ball, and square the ball up and see how far it lands.
Watching Julio Rodriguez, what was that like? Because he is a talented young guy.
It's amazing. It's his first time in the big leagues doing the Home Run Derby, and he make it to the finals. That tells you a lot. And he's going to be here for a while, so I hope he gets another chance and gets a chance to win it.
I want you to tell me how proud you are to represent the Dominican Republic in winning this.
I am. I'm really proud. My people, I know all those guys that were cheering for me and ready for me. And I feel really happy with it.
Albert Pujols, what did it mean for his performance tonight and to watch him out here?
He's a great performance. I mean, he's one of the greatest players in baseball, and get to see him and face him in the Home Run Derby is just amazing.
Juan Soto right there talking with John Shambi from ESPN Radio after his triumph in the Home Run Derby, again beating Julio Rodriguez 19-18. To win the Derby last night in Los Angeles. The first round went like this. It was the rookie Julio Rodriguez knocking out Corey Seager, who is the final addition to the Derby, beating him 32-24. Pete Alonso, the two-time defending champ, knocking out his division rival Ronald Acuna Jr. 20-19. Soto edged past Jose Ramirez 18-17. And then the number one seed, Kyle Schwarber, got knocked out by Albert Pujols in a tiebreaker round, Pujols winning 20-19 over Schwarber. Semifinals went as follows. Julio Rodriguez beating Pete Alonso. So no three-peat for Pete Alonso. At least Pete got to the semifinals. My pick, Pete Alonso, did not get out of the semifinals. Another 30 home run, 31 to be exact, performance from Rodriguez to 23 for Alonso. And then Juan Soto edging out Albert Pujols 16-15 in the semis to head into the final, which again Juan Soto won 19-18. Albert Pujols did also speak with ESPN Radio, talking about getting past Schwarber and competing into the semifinals in the Home Run Derby. His final All-Star Game, final Home Run Derby. He had a chance to reflect on the moment itself with ESPN Radio last night. Here's what they had to say with Albert Pujols.
How cool was the moment when the players from both teams came out and just kind of embraced you and urged you on?
Pretty special, you know. This is a guy that I've been competing against, you know, for the last 22 years. Some of them, I think only one or two, but, you know, because 22 years later, here I am, you know. But it's just awesome, you know, just to see this guy, the new generation, the superstar of this gang, and to be here, you know, enjoying this moment, my last All-Star game of my career, is a blessing. I thank God for that, enjoying it with my family, my fans, and it's just good being back here to Dodger Stadium, where I had great memories last year.
There was a neat thing that happened last year. The Dodgers got their rings. They had each guy have their favorite player say a message. And I think Will Smith ended up asking you to say the message, and then you got to be teammates.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember going back to back with him during last year, and then just hitting home run in front of him and behind him. It was just pretty awesome. Will is a great dude. I had a great time with him when they came last week and played against us. And like I said, man, it just brought me a big smile back, you know, last year, going through here for 4.5 months and then getting the opportunity to play in the playoff, you know, it was pretty awesome.
Albert Pujols talking with ESPN Radio following the home run derby last night. Again, he bowed out to Juan Soto winning the whole thing in L.A. last night. So the derby is behind us. That moves us into the game itself, the All-Star game itself, which is tonight at Dodger Stadium, the Midsummer Classic, 92nd edition of the Midsummer Classic. And the AL has won the last 8, 20 of the last 24 All-Star games. They do lead the overall series, just 46-43-2. But the AL looking to continue that streak tonight. The lineups are set. Of course, we see a lot of switching in and out, pitchers especially, pitching an inning, pitching maybe half an inning, a third of an inning, two-thirds of an inning. You'll see probably what's the term they use, the opener, except your opener is going to be a quality starter in this setting with the All-Star game. But the exhibition tonight, and you can catch all the coverage starting right after local programming at 6 tonight, ESPN Radio, with the pregame coverage, and then first pitch just after 7. You can catch it here tonight, right here on KGYM and all of our frequencies. But here are the starting lineups. This is your AL starting lineup for tonight. Leading off, the designated hitter, Shohei Ohtani. Batting second, Aaron Judge from the Yankees. Batting third, Rafael Devers from the Red Sox. Batting fourth, first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the Blue Jays. Giancarlo Stanton bats fifth. Byron Buxton of the Minnesota Twins batting sixth, replacing Mike Trout. So a colonel replacing a colonel, former colonel replacing a former colonel there. The sixth spot in the AL lineup with Byron Buxton batting sixth. Tim Anderson batting seventh. Andrés Giménez batting eighth. He replaced Jose Altuve in the lineup. And then your starting catcher, Alejandro Kirk of the Toronto Blue Jays, bats ninth. Starting pitcher will be Shane McClanahan of the Tampa Bay Rays. That's been covered. McClanahan getting the nod for the American League over Shohei Ohtani. And in the National League, your starting pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, getting his start in Dodger Stadium. Clayton Kershaw is the first pitcher to start the All-Star game at his home stadium since Max Scherzer back in 2018. So Clayton Kershaw will get the nod at the start for the National League. Your National League lineup looks like this. Ronald Acuna Jr. bats leadoff, excuse me. Mookie Betts, hometown player, bats second in center field. Manny Machado batting third. Paul Goldschmidt batting fourth. Trey Turner batting fifth. Wilson Contreras bats sixth. His brother, William Contreras, is the DH. He bats seventh. Jock Peterson bats eighth. And then Jeff McNeil of the New York Mets bats ninth. McNeil replacing Jazz Chisholm of the Miami Marlins in the starting lineup. So there's your starting lineups for tonight. Again, coverage from ESPN Radio starting at 6 with game time just after 7 o'clock. You can catch the Midsummer Classic right here on KGYM. And one thing I know was talked about after we left the air, but rather interesting way this game could possibly end tonight. If there is a tie after 9 innings, it was announced that the All-Star game is tied after 9 innings. The game will be settled with a home run derby for the first time. No, Bud Selig is not going to stand there in the stands with his hands like, oh, what am I supposed to do? If you remember the Milwaukee All-Star game from, that was 20 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah. The disaster that was is not going to happen. Does go to extras now instead of ending in a tie like it did that year. But tonight, if it goes to a tie, and frankly, I think quite a few people are probably cheering for a tie just to see how this home run derby would work. But the game will be settled with a home run derby for the first time. According to the AP, before the game, each manager will select, and they already have selected, 3 hitters to compete in a home run derby if one becomes necessary, along with an extra hitter in case one of the original choices suffers an injury. Each manager will also select an all-star coach to serve as the pitcher, along with a bullpen catcher. Dusty Baker, the AL manager, has chosen Ty France, Julio Rodriguez, and Kyle Tucker to compete should a game-deciding home run derby be necessary. National League manager Brian Snitker has chosen Pete Alonso, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Kyle Schwarber to be the designated home runnees should a home run derby be decided or needed to decide the outcome of tonight's game. Are you cheering for a tie just to see the home run derby? 319-366-1600. Part two of a home run derby. See if Julio Rodriguez, I'd put my money on Julio Rodriguez after that performance, should there need to be one. Would the players just, are they going to I don't want to say throwing the game per se, but if it's tied in the eighth, are you going to try to maybe extend it out? The pitcher's going to throw a little bit more gas to get it to the tie, just to have the home run derby. Give the fans what they want. Be interested to see if that happens. Are you cheering for a tie just to see the tie-breaking home run derby? 319-366-1600. After the AL and NL tied the 2002 All-Star Game in a 7-7 tie, Bud Selig, of course, knowing the background of this game, the All-Star Game, former Commissioner Bud Selig instituted a rule in 2003 that the winner would get home field advantage in the World Series. That went away in 2017, Major League Baseball started awarding home field advantage to the World Series team with the highest regular season winning percentage. So, yeah. I think it'd be fun. Do I want a tie? I just decided on the field. I don't think it's going to come down to a tie. It's an exhibition game. Nobody's really probably going to be throwing high heat, but we'll see. We'll see how things play out tonight. Would be fun if it did end with the deciding home run derby, regardless. 319-366-1600 on a Tuesday edition of Spencer Odd Sports. Going to stick with baseball for a little bit. Love to hear from you on the Talker text line coming up in our next segment. Grading your favorite team at the break. What grade would you give your favorite team at the All-Star break? We'll spend a little time on that, take a look at the standings, and more coming up here on Spencer Odd Sports. It's on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine today with hot and humid conditions. Winds will be strong out of the south and temperatures will be rising to a high around 90. Heat index values will be climbing into the upper 90s, so it'll feel much hotter than the actual temperature. Later tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and we'll drop on down into the upper 60s. Tomorrow won't be quite as hot or humid as today, but still warm and sunny with temperatures in the mid 80s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat with Jason Fitz.
If you ask me, I can't think of many things dumber than caring about Madden ratings. And let me be clear, I'm the target audience here. I don't hide my love of the NFL on air and certainly can't hide my love of the Raiders. You guys know that. You tweet me how much I talk about it, right? I understand that. I also played Madden competitively for a while. I am the person that buys Madden every single year. One of my life goals is to be in the video game somehow, some way. If you start thinking about what Madden means to me, I get it. But I don't care whether my guy's an 88 or a 92. What difference does it make? In fact, for a long time when the Raiders were bad, I looked at poor player ratings as a reason to make the game more entertaining. I know I'm going to win anyway, so if we're going to play in franchise mode, make it as difficult as possible so that I get as much bang for my buck as I can throughout all of it. And let's be real. I mean, nobody's going to sit there and say, oh, we're facing Ja'Marr Chase this weekend. Well, you know, according to Madden, he's only an 87. Like, why does that matter? Look at your roster as a whole. Not the specific numbers, but the range of the numbers. And you might get a good indication of one thing when it comes to Madden ratings. The depth of your roster. If you go in when you buy the game and you start looking at your starters versus your backups and you see a massive drop-off, it's a reminder in a 17-game, 18-week schedule, man, where depth matters more than ever in the NFL, maybe that's the one thing you can take away. You can look at position groups. You can look at depth. You can look at the drop-off in numbers and start to ask yourself, is this a real situation that could impact real football that I'm actually going to watch this fall? I think sometimes the answer there is yes, and that is the only takeaway that you can actually apply. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat from Spain and Fitz, I'm Jason Fitz.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the whole desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold, or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
Menards is your plumbing headquarters. Get hot water when you need it with Menards' selection of Richmond water heaters. Save money on your water bill with our high-efficiency options. Or check out a tankless water heater to save on space. You're sure to find the perfect fit for you. Get 11% off all Richmond water heaters. Good through July 24th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Is there any more satisfying feeling than letting an elevator door close on somebody? I did it at the hotel earlier. I got such a warm rush through my body. It felt like the inside of my body hugged the outside of my body, you know? And then you see it close and you're like, sometimes a second later it opens and you're like, fuck!
From Netflix, comedian Tom Segura brings I'm Coming Everywhere World Tour to McGrath Amphitheater July 26th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back at 227, Spencer at Sports for Tuesday, 319-366-1600. Following Major League Baseball, covering the Home Run Derby, looking ahead to the All-Star Game tonight, looking ahead to the second half of the season as we are on break week here. All-Star break week action in Major League Baseball resumes Thursday, full slate of games on Friday. We'll talk more about that as the week comes on. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Which league triumphs tonight, the American League or the National League? You can vote right now at KGYMRadio.com. Major League Baseball draft going on as well. Following along with that, we'll give you any breaking picks with the State of Iowa ties coming up just a few, if we see them come across here throughout the next 30 minutes or so. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd and Alex in here between 4 and 6 in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Tune in for another chance to win tickets to see Tom Segura at the McGrath Amphitheater in Cedar Rapids. He's actually going to be there a week from tonight, Tuesday, July 26th. He's a comedian, actor, writer, known for his Netflix special, Disgraceful, and his podcast called Your Mom's House. He's going to be at Cedar Rapids coming up on Tuesday, July 26th. Chance to win another set of tickets with Todd and Alex coming up between 4 and 6 today. Did I hear correctly, Ben? Did I hear correctly that you're doing Gene Segura trivia? Is that right? That is right. Okay. Remembering Gene Segura. Now, we can't remember him. He's not a remembersome guy because he's still active. But if you want to take your stab at Gene Segura trivia today with Todd and Alex, you can listen in today between 4 and 6. More details about that show. Other shows, by the way, coming to the McGrath Amphitheater at KGYMRadio.com. Stick with baseball here for a little bit longer. We'll get into some college football news in a few moments. Love to hear from you on the Talker text line. Grading your favorite team at the break. A, B, C, D, or F. Or incomplete. I will allow incomplete grades as well. 319-366-1600. Let me know who your favorite team is and your thoughts on their first half of the season. Just looking around baseball here. Division leaders at the break. The New York Yankees running away with the AL East. 13 games up. 64-28. The Twins, a little bit tighter race. 2 games up on Cleveland at 50-44. Houston holding off Seattle for now. I mentioned they play each other. Houston and Seattle will right after the break. I think 7 of the first 10 games out of the break for Seattle are against Houston. So you're going to learn a lot about the red-hot Mariners, who've won 14 straight, but Houston still holds a 9-game lead on Seattle here at the All-Star break, 59-32 for the Astros. Mets 2.5 up on the Braves in the NL East. Brewers just a half game up on St. Louis in the National League Central, 50-43 for the Brew Crew, 50-44 for the Cardinals. And then Dodgers holding a 10-game lead. They're 60-30 over the San Diego Padres in the National League West. So how do you think your favorite team did? Who's your favorite team? And give me a letter grade for their first half at 319-366-1600. Obviously, from a Brewer fan perspective, talked about not going to hide my favorite team, my love for my favorite team, the Milwaukee Brewers. C+, B-. I mean, they're in first. I guess it should be a little bit higher. I could be a little bit higher with the grade, but the finish to the first half was not good. I think I mentioned this in yesterday's show, 44-33 record for the Crew. June 29th, after taking 4 of 5 from Toronto and Tampa Bay, 7-10, actually 6-10 the rest of the way down the stretch, including at least 3 blown leads, games you could have won, losing series to the Cubs and the Pirates, the Giants. Giants are a decent team, but the way some of those games were lost down the stretch, not good when your pitching isn't holding up like that, which your pitching has been carrying you for much of the season. Need your pitching to be on par with what they can be and what they should be. And certainly not a good end of the season or end of the first half for my beloved Milwaukee Brewers. But things could be worse. That is for sure. Offense needs to get going in the second half. I'll be interested to see what they do at the trade deadline. I saw an article still linking Milwaukee to possibly Andrew Benintendi from Kansas City. Good news for Milwaukee. They don't play Toronto, so Benintendi would be available for the second half of the season. But, going to be interesting to see what they do at the deadline, whether it be for some pitching help, whether it be for extra bat or two in the lineup. Do they go all in and get Juan Soto? I don't think they will, but, yeah. Important trade deadline coming up for Milwaukee. I could say the same for St. Louis, too. In that division race, just a half game back, if the Cardinals game on Sunday hadn't been rained out, probably would be tied going into the second half here. So a crucial stretch here coming up, heading into the trade deadline, and then out of the trade deadline into the bulk of the second half of the year down the home stretch. Milwaukee, by the way, opening 4-game set against Colorado, 2 against the Twins, then on the road at Boston for 3 to end the month of July for 2022. I see the Dodgers, the Cardinals, Tampa Bay, the Yankees, the Mets, Cardinals again on the schedule coming up. So not an easy second half by any means for Milwaukee. 319-366-1600. Lots to get to in the sports world. Aside from baseball, we'll talk more about the All-Star game coming up on tomorrow's show, review what happened and continue to look ahead to the second half of the season. We'll talk about that coming up on tomorrow's show. We got some college football to talk about. SEC Media Days coming up, continuing, I should say, here this week. Nick Saban taking the podium today. Get his thoughts. Here are some of his comments. Name, image, and likeness on super conferences. Plus, what did he say about Jimbo Fisher? We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. It's Spencer on Sports here on KGYM.
Hey, chicken finger lovers, your day is coming. July 27th is National Chicken Finger Day, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers has earned their spot on the Summer of One Love lineup. This year, Cane's is celebrating with world-famous competitive eater Joey Chestnut. Joey will be taking on the challenge of eating as many hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers as he can in 5 minutes. You can watch the record-breaking event live on Raising Cane's Facebook page, and you can do that on July 27th. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Missing football? Come see a special exhibit honoring the life and achievements of Papa Bear George Halas at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library. This renowned player, coach, and owner of the Chicago Bears and co-founder of the NFL was a first-generation Czech American. Follow the story of his life through this exhibit featuring artifacts and photos from the NFL Hall of Fame and the Chicago Bears. Experience Gridiron Champs, George Halas and the Chicago Bears, now at the National Czech and Slovak Museum and Library.
Drunk driving is one of America's most often committed and deadliest crimes. Each year, nearly 10,000 people die on the road due to drunk driving. In order to stop this deadly epidemic, cops are cracking down. Police officers are aggressively looking for drunk drivers and will arrest anyone caught driving drunk. They'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle 5 job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. JobFunnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once, and we post it to all the big job sites. JobFunnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on JobFunnel to get started. Breathe. JobFunnel's on it.
And we're back at 2:36 with Spencer at Sports here on KGYM through a 9366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd and Alex in between 4 and 6. Countdown to kickoff continues today as well. Not only do they have that chance to win tickets today, more Big Ten football talk 1 week away. Big Ten Media Days. We'll get to some comments from SEC Media Days coming up in just a bit. News for the college football world. We've been talking about realignment that has dominated the conversation when it comes to college football this offseason, along with the previewing we're doing for the season ahead. But one of the big topics after USC and UCLA defected to the Big Ten was the possibility of a partnership between the Big 12 and Pac-12. It's been discussed extensively for the past 2 weeks, but those talks, according to ESPN, have officially ended. So the Big 12 and Pac-12 will not be merging. You will not be seeing Iowa State going to Washington State for a regular season game. At least not as we imagined it probably could if those two conferences were to merge. Officials from the Big 12 told Pac-12 officials on Monday, per Pete Thamel from ESPN, that they are no longer interested in exploring the partnership. A Big 12 source said the deal didn't work for the conference for what they say is a multitude of reasons. Source saying those reasons included the fact that any potential deal wouldn't have driven much revenue for the league. The source saying, quote, it just didn't work, end quote. ESPN reporting there have been at least 3 Zoom calls between top league officials in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and other calls between other factions of the leagues, including those in the legal department, to discuss different options. A Pac-12 source briefed on the conversation says the Big 12 had expressed interest on Friday in possibly exploring a full merger. The Big 12 source said of the 3 options laid out by the Pac-12, pooling rights, media rights, a scheduling concept, or fully combining the leagues, the only scenario that, according to the source, that could have potentially driven value because of the sheer number of schools and population areas was a full merger of the leagues. So that sounds like the only one that maybe moved the needle at all for anybody, the higher ups in either conference, a full merger of the league. But you consider all the teams in the Big 12, all the teams in the Pac-10/Pac-12 that would be coming together. That would be one gigantic conference. That is for sure. And a lot of possible headaches and things of the like there. But the partnership, talks of a partnership between the Big 12 and the Pac-12, it is not going to happen. Those talks have officially ended, according to ESPN. The Pac-12, of course, has been exploring all options since USC and UCLA left the league and announced they'd be joining in the Big Ten. There have been conversations, as we know, with the ACC and the Pac-12 about some sort of scheduling agreement, there's doubts that that potential partnership could work financially as well. Still questions about what is going to happen when it comes to further realignment. It still depends on Notre Dame. I think we've all come to that that understanding, what they do or decide not to do, and we'll talk about that more coming up in just a moment. But there is still some talk that if Notre Dame decides to stay independent, could the Big Ten look toward Oregon and Washington to join their ranks? Are there other schools that the Big 12 is interested in targeting from the Pac-12 or Pac-10, whatever you want to call it now, like Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado? Those four schools have been rumored to be asking around about potentially joining the Big 12 and leaving the Pac-12 with fewer teams. There's still some questions about that, but overall, potential full merger between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 is off the table as of right now. What do you think happens to both conferences? 319-366-1600. Do you think both conferences, Big 12 and Pac-12 or Pac-10, whatever you call it, once USC and UCLA leave, do you think they stay their own thing? Do they combine? Do certain teams split off and join another super conference league? What do you think? 319-366-1600. The other piece of the puzzle, I mentioned this before, Notre Dame. What are they going to do? Are they going to join the Big Ten? Are they going to join the ACC where the rest of their sports are? Talking Notre Dame football specifically. Or are they going to stay independent? Well, this report from CBS Sports out within the last 24 hours, Notre Dame reportedly would stay an independent if it can earn at least $75 million annually in media rights revenue from current broadcast partner NBC. Fighting Irish's deal with the network is set to expire in 2025. Sources telling CBS Sports of this information from Notre Dame, and the report indicates that for NBC to feel comfortable raising Notre Dame's value or valuation to such a level, it is seeking what's called shoulder programming, quote unquote, which NBC says and CBS explains is games played before or after Notre Dame's contests from a Power 5 conference to enhance its college football coverage. Big Ten was the conference mentioned most often, according to CBS. However, the Big 12 has emerged as a strong option to fill NBC's shoulder programming. So, again, games before or after Notre Dame's contest. So NBC says, well, we'll possibly give you that $75 million annually and media rights, but we have to partner with another league. We don't want to just have one school on our programming grid. We want to have something in front of and after your games to keep people on the channel longer. That is certainly an interesting note there. But again, Notre Dame saying, at least according to sources who tell CBS Sports, it would remain independent if it can earn at least $75 million annually in media rights revenue from NBC. Big Ten, of course, expected to announce a new media rights deal. Could be maybe a week from today at Big Ten Media Days. We don't know. But still expected to be a primary partner with Fox there. Big Ten believed to be seeking two to three other partners to air its programming, with NBC reportedly among the bidders. NBC's negotiations expected to extend, according to this report from CBS, across the next 2 to 3 weeks, according to a source Network has been the rights holder for Notre Dame home football games since 1991. Current deal averages $15 million per year, but Notre Dame earning $22 million annually due to the contract and how it was written out and negotiated in its current state. So Notre Dame looking for some more cash from NBC to possibly stay independent. Before we get to our next break here, SEC Media Days going on in SEC country. And this is the time for Nick Saban to take the podium and share his thoughts on the current state of college football. We heard from Greg Sankey yesterday talking about the SEC and possible expansion, saying that we're good at 16, but we're going to move nimbly. Just hearing interesting quotes from a number of different coaches. A lot of them probably taken out of context, including Vanderbilt's head coach saying, "We want to be the best program in college football." Might be when pigs fly before that happens, but a lot of interesting stuff coming from SEC Media Days. Shane Beamer dancing to Soulja Boy in a hype video. Do you need a hype video to get before Media Days? I don't know. I don't think you see this stuff in the Big Ten. SEC, whole different animal, as we know. Nick Saban taking to the podium today, talking about name, image, and likeness in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. Here's what he had to say.
I don't dislike name, image, and likeness. I'm all for the players. I want players to do well. Our players did extremely well last year. They made over $3 million in name, image, and likeness. So I'm all for the players, you know, being able to do as well as they can and use their name, image, and likeness to create value. The biggest concern is, you know, how does this impact and affect recruiting? Because on the recruiting trail right now, there's a lot of people using this as inducements to go to their school by making promises as to whether they may or may not be able to keep in terms of, you know, what players are doing. And I think that, you know, that is what can create a competitive balance issue between the haves and the have-nots.
Nick Saban speaking on name, image, and likeness, his take on NIL. Again, you heard him say there, claiming his players made more than $3 million in NIL deals over the past year. Reiterating, saying he had no problem with players making money through NIL marketing deals. Nick Saban also asked about super conferences and whether they're good for college football. You heard those words, haves and have-nots. Well, he says those words again in this clip.
Probably for the haves, which obviously at Alabama we're one of the haves, it's probably a good thing. For some of the have-nots, some of the, you know, sort of, I don't want to know what you would say, second half of each league, you know, maybe it won't work out as well. Maybe there's some system like, you know, the pro soccer league in Europe where you can, you know, play your way into it. I don't know how it all works out. I know that one thing that we've always tried to do is keep competitive balance in college athletics. And I think this could affect that, you know, significantly for, you know, some people in college football.
Nick Saban speaking at SEC Media Days, audio courtesy of ESPN Radio. If you're curious, he was asked about the Jimbo Fisher feud from back in, what was that, May? Saban commenting, suggesting that the Aggies, quote-unquote, bought its 2022 recruiting class. Of course, Jimbo Fisher coming back with a pretty epic rant against Nick Saban at an emergency press conference. Saban asked about it. He said, "I have no issues or problems with Jimbo. I always take criticisms or whatever in a positive way to self-assess me personally in terms of maybe there's something I can do better. So any comments that anybody makes, you or any coach, I always take into consideration," according to Nick Saban. Defensive end Will Anderson Jr. also asked about the incident between Jimbo, the war of words between Jimbo and Nick Saban. Will Anderson saying, quote, "I watched it. I don't really get into social media stuff. When we play Texas A&M, everything will be addressed there." So get your popcorn ready for Texas A&M, Alabama this year. If you have not already, I think a lot of people have after what happened earlier this year, the war of words between Saban and Jimbo. But if you need another reason, Will Anderson saying it's going to be taken care of on the field. So there you go. 249 coming up at 250. Spencer on Sports is back 90 seconds away from a little bit more football and news about a documentary you might be interested in seeing, a sports documentary. Talk about that coming up in just a bit.
Switching and saving with GEICO is easy, so you're free to ponder life's big questions, like why do people say it goes without saying and then say it anyway? I mean, if it really goes without saying, you should instead not say it and just give a knowing look?
Well, folks, it goes without saying.
What does?
The thing that I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Switch and save with GEICO. It's easier than you think.
Did you book the Townsend's 10th anniversary ticket?
Alona's travel agency is overbooked and experiencing delays. She needs to land a new project manager to clear her business's runways.
Yes, Mrs. O'Hara, we checked. Pygmy goats do not count as emotional support animals.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by interviewing on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on ESPN Radio.
Another great play from Aaron Judge.
What a play! Mookie Betts,
Mike Trout,
Ronald Acuna,
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.,
Manny Machado,
Paul Goldschmidt,
Shohei Ohtani.
The 2022 Major League Baseball All-Star Game from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Coverage begins today at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Don't forget, you can catch the All-Star Game tonight, 6 o'clock Central Time. We're on ESPN Radio. Follows the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Winding down the show for today, the gym class coming up in just a bit. Todd and Alex in here between 4 and 6. One quick note from the NFL. New York Jets expected to wrap up signing their rookie class today. NFL Network Ian Rappaport reporting that second-round running back Breece Hall, former Iowa State Cyclone, expected to sign his four-year rookie contract today if he has not already. Hall, the last member of the class unsigned as rookies reported for training camp today. Ian Rappaport noting that Hall had been in the building all morning ahead of inking his deal. Jets, of course, trading up in the second round to take Breece Hall with the number 36 overall selection. Hall, 3,941 yards and 50 rushing touchdowns over three seasons. First-team All-American, 20 in 2021. 20 or more rushing touchdowns each of those campaigns. Ran for 1,400-plus yards in each season. Hall expected to probably be the starter, I would think, in New York, paired with Michael Carter, who was a fourth-round pick last year, as the Jets try to get back on the right track and build their offense around Zach Wilson. So Breece Hall was expected to sign his four-year rookie contract today, per Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Before we get into the What's on Tap segment for today, quick sports documentary alert. I'm a sucker for a good 30 for 30. This is not a 30 for 30. This is a different documentary series, but might be of some interest to college football fans in particular. We talked about Notre Dame a few moments ago, but a new Netflix documentary coming out in August was announced earlier today. Going to talk about one of the most talked about moments in recent college football history. It's called Untold. It's Netflix's sports documentary series set to examine the story of Manti Te'o. I think you know where I'm going with this. Manti Te'o, of course, the former Notre Dame football star, made headlines a decade ago when it was discovered he had been catfished. He had a fake girlfriend, Lene Kakua. The series' second volume is called Untold. August 16th, the documentary is going to be called The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist. It's a two-part documentary focusing on Manti Te'o and how the story basically started and then unraveled that his supposed girlfriend, Lene Kakua, of course, who he thought had passed away of leukemia, during his senior football season did not truly exist. You could find the trailer for the documentary series on Twitter if you are so inclined to check it out. College football fan, probably be checking it out regardless, but The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist, a two-part documentary on Netflix from the Untold series focusing on Manti Te'o. Was a crazy story still when you look back on college football. All the interesting things that happen in college football. All the crazy seasons, crazy games, crazy endings. An off-the-field story just makes you pause and say, what a time to be alive when that happened. We now get to see the documentary coming August 16th to Netflix, if you are so inclined. That is coming out very soon. 319-366-1600 at 255. Roger, have a poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Has to do with tonight's All-Star Game. Which league will triumph tonight? The American League or the National League? Who's going to come out on top? You can vote right now at KGYMRadio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Gym class is coming up next between 3 and 4. Special guest today with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. Friend of the show, friend of the station, Cal Eldred, the Royals pitching coach, going to join the guys for an extended chat today. Get some insight on the Royals season, the baseball season in general with Cal. That's coming up between 3 and 4. Busy show with the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up today between 4 and 6. Jeff Ehrman covers Maryland 24/7 Sports. He will be the countdown to kickoff guest du jour today. He'll be joining the guys at 4:30, and then old friend Mia O'Brien joining Todd and Alex at 5:30 tonight from SEC Media Days. More reaction to what's going on down in SEC country in Atlanta. That'll be 5:30 tonight with Todd and Alex here on KGYM. Don't forget, we have the All-Star Game tonight. Coverage starts at 6, courtesy of ESPN Radio. That's right here on the gym. We're back tomorrow. If you missed anything from the show today or yesterday or anytime, don't forget to check out the podcast at kgymradio.com while you're voting on the poll question, too. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.